The ruling on the field stands.
We deliver jerseys, funny foam fingers, and everything you need for the game. But what you really get is so much more.
FedEx delivery.
Game day spirit. What we deliver by delivering.
With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Many people have voiced their opinion that the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates too fast. Is that scaring some consumers away? We'll discuss in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. Fidelity Investment says it will store and trade Bitcoin for hedge funds and other professional investors. Some Bitcoin observers said that Fidelity's move will lend the cryptocurrency world some mainstream credibility and potentially remove some obstacles for buyers and sellers. The new Fidelity business will allow money managers, family offices, and other institutional clients to trade Bitcoin and Ether, that's another digital currency. The company, however, for now, has no plans to extend the trading of Bitcoin to retail customers. In a survey of more than 750 workers by Harvard Business School and UCLA, shows that 80% of respondents said they would be willing to pay money to stop an email containing their salary information from being distributed to coworkers. About half of the people surveyed said they still would not tell five peers what they earn in exchange for $125. The research found that people are reluctant to ask coworkers about their salaries out of respect for most coworkers' preference to keep that salary information private. But they're also fearful that asking about salaries would force them to reveal their own pay rate. But discussing salary could help an employee better value their work. A little more than half of the respondents believe that their guess of a coworker's salary was within 5% of the real average. In actuality, though, people's guesses were 16% off the real figure.
The Wall Street Journal podcast are brought to you by American Express. No matter what you do, from business and finance to a podcast about business and finance, it's easier when you don't go it alone. The powerful backing of American Express. Don't do business without it.
The Federal Reserve has raised short-term interest rates 8 times since December of 2015. And while some, including President Trump, might feel the Fed is, in the president's words, out of control, the nation's big banks have yet to see a negative impact on consumers. And Wall Street Journal reporter Peter Rudiger is here to discuss. So, Peter, just for a moment, briefly explain for us how the benchmark short-term interest rate potentially affects consumers.
Immediately, anytime the Federal Reserve raises interest rates, banks respond by rising what's known as the prime rate. And the prime rate serves as a benchmark for all sorts of loans to consumers. So your credit card interest rate that you pay actually is tied to the prime rate. The interest rate you might pay on a home equity line of credit is tied to the prime rate. So immediately, banks get a benefit to their bottom line from being able to charge you more for borrowing.
And while the rising rates can make it more expensive for consumers to borrow, I guess they've been largely undeterred. That's the word from some bank executives.
Exactly. We heard last week we had J.P. Morgan, we had Wells Fargo, we had Citigroup all report earnings. All were pretty big double-digit gains in net income. And what they said was the U.S. consumer, at least in terms of some of those types of loans I just mentioned, credit cards in particular, they still want to borrow, right? So credit card balances were up at each of those institutions despite having to pay more to borrow on credit cards. What you're starting to see, though, is certain longer-term loans that aren't as tied to what the Federal Reserve does but are tied to what the bond market does, so that's a mortgage, for instance. Consumers are starting to taper off some of their borrowing. So we had mortgage originations at J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo fall by double digits just because mortgage rates now are approaching 5%.
Is that what has spooked the markets, especially during the week of October 8th? Was it the more the long-term loans?
Yes. So long-term interest rates were rising the week before we had banks reporting. You know, folks were worried about the pace of Federal Reserve rate increases and how that might factor and filter through to how much they pay to borrow, how much consumers pay to borrow for homes. In some of the commentary we heard from the executives about whether they were worried about consumers not being able to afford higher borrowing costs, they were actually pretty optimistic. So Jamie Dimon, the CEO of J.P. Morgan, said that most of the consumer credit written since the Great Recession is pretty damn good, in his words.
That's interesting that they have seen really this trend since the 2008-2009 recession really has trended upward and positively almost undeterred.
That's right. I think what you saw after the recession is a lot of risk aversion on behalf of banks and the types of customers they want to lend to, right? So it was tougher to get a mortgage for a long time. It was tougher to get a credit card unless you had a pretty good credit score. And so as a result of that, a lot of the mortgages and credit card loans they have made since the decade since the crisis, they have turned out to perform really well. So what you saw in earnings announcements last week was, okay, we've already talked about the cost of borrowing going up. Households are still not paying that much to service those debts. So as you might expect an economic recovery that's long in the tooth, people might be starting to fall behind on some of their credit card debts as those pile up. Credit card debt is now over $1 trillion in the U.S. The reverse is happening. Across the board, people are paying their loans on time, even more so than they were a year ago. So the U.S. consumer is still pretty healthy. That's the kind of the read we got from a lot of the bank executives talking on conference calls last week.
All right. So that's the impact on consumers. But the banks also have not shown much concern regarding the effect of rates on the business community either.
You know, we have a lot of headlines in our paper in the past couple of weeks just on big U.S. companies struggling, Sears filing for bankruptcy. You know, executives were asked what they feel about the health of the U.S. business community, especially retailers. And they said they likewise feel pretty confident that the U.S. companies can absorb higher borrowing costs. You know, these weren't unanticipated. A lot of folks have issued hundreds of billions of dollars in bonds and have untapped lines of credit that they can use in case, you know, they need to expand. So there's really not a lot of negativity coming from the bank chiefs on the corporate sector either.
So these short interval rate increases by the Fed, and they've been cautious and they've been taking little steps along the way, that could be the key to keeping everyone fairly happy.
I think so. Well, what you'll see over time is that right now banks are in this kind of sweet spot where they get to enjoy some of these higher rates that they can charge on loans. After a while, though, as those interest rates that the Federal Reserve increases, after they build up, you know, consumers are going to start expecting maybe a higher interest rate on their savings account, and businesses too, when they park their deposits at a bank, they're going to start saying, wait a minute, the Fed rate is here and I'm still being offered peanuts on my savings account. They're going to start demanding to be paid more.
Right.
So banks' profit margins are going to be impacted by that over time. We're still in that sweet spot, though, where they can get more in lending income but don't have to pay that much to depositors.
So the consumer could be the piper coming to be paid.
Sooner or later.
All right. That's the Wall Street Journal's Peter Rudiger joining us here in our studio. Peter, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.